B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Season number one for rookie Matt Jones. And there's been an air of anticipation about this night and the opportunity to see this quarterback, of course, for a long time since the Patriots took him with the 15th overall selection in the draft. Off the play fake. Fines, born in the hole. First down, New England.
Pretty throw, but it's the action. It's the quick show the ball to the back, set the feet, get your shoulder square, and just lay it to Bourne. It's not a rifle, because you have to clear the underneath defender. You see it right there. So you got a guy coming down on Sony Michel. Ball needs to go over top of him and inside the safety. That's a good throw.
Final hour, Agenda Free Friday, which as always are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch them at BernardiAutoGroup.com. Felger in the remote A-hole chair location. Jeopardy Joe Murray on the updates. Big Joe Murray alongside in the Mavs chair. Final hour. That, to me, was a signature play by Mac Jones last night. My favorite play from Mac Jones last night. It was a first down, play-action fake, deep in cut to Kendrick Bourne over the middle for 13 yards. I consider that, and if you know the play I'm talking about, it's, I think, sort of a bread-and-butter play of the Patriots offense that's predicated on just decent footwork by the quarterback, a solid play-action fake, a receiver that's willing to go over the middle, and a timing play that I consider, you know, that I think that guys like Tom Brady and Deion Branch used to complete in their sleep whenever they needed it. That play was sort of there for them. And seeing Mac Jones and Kendrick Bourne do that gave me a good glimmer of hope. Like, that's the Patriots offense. That's how it's executed. I really like that play. Now, I'm not putting anyone in the Hall of Fame over that, and I'm not saying that the competition or the starting quarterback thing is over because of that play. But, as Chris Gasper says, he wonders if some people are. Before I read you some stuff, Joe Murray or Big Joe Murray, you got a thought on this. Are people overhyping Mac Jones from last night?
I say no. I think that actually makes you feel better about them drafting someone. I'll even bring up something Jim said. You know, there's five quarterbacks drafted, you know, and Fields was drafted ahead of him, and we're hearing great things about him right now. We're hearing great things about Lance. But, you know, when it comes down to it, if Mac Jones is better than Cam Newton, maybe he's not a stiff. Maybe he is a good pick here. But I absolutely loved what I saw last night. And, you know, just to kind of pick up what you talked about, I think there will be some growing pains along the way, but I think it's better to have them now and play him now, something that Bill Belichick has never done. You know, play him now and have the team develop for the long term instead of just going back to Cam Newton and making the playoffs and losing in the first round.
I think he was good. Not great, good. But at the very least, he was better than Cam Newton. And so now, at the very least, I'm more willing to believe that Mac Jones does end up seeing the field sooner than later. I still think that Bill, for whatever reason, is dug in with Cam. It'll be Cam week one. But if he falters those first couple of weeks, I wouldn't be shocked if they went to him week three, even week four with Brady and the Bucks here.
All right. A lot of guys that cover the team feel otherwise, that there's an acceleration here going on with Mac Jones, and we'll see him much sooner than later. We'll start with Tom Curran here on NBC Sports Boston. He wrote, honestly, at this point, I'd go so far as to say it's not a quarterback competition anymore. Mac Jones will be the starting quarterback for the Patriots this year. Cam Newton is just keeping the seat warm until the oven timer dings and Mac can be served to the NFL. Why not just make the switch now if it's so obvious, says Curran. Give Jones all the first team reps in games and practices, relegate Newton, and be done with it. So that's Tom Curran all in on Mac Jones after that one game. And it's not just the one game, to be fair. You know, Curran's been on that train for a while, and he's at practice every day. So it wasn't just on the game, but that was the most recent bit of evidence. Greg Bedard agrees. The headline in his story, Boston Sports Journal, Cam Newton needs to show more progress to hold off Mac Jones. So Cam Newton better make a push or else he's done. Bedard detailed the first two pass plays by Cam Newton where he missed Janu Smith on a sort of a sort of a crossing route, real simple play that was kind of covered, but he still missed him badly. And then the sack that he took from Chase Young, where he just identified none of the pressure that was coming his way prior to the play. And then he talked about Mac Jones operating well in the two-minute drill. Then he wrote, just like with Newton, it's not about the stats with Jones. It's about how it's all supposed to look. And to look at that after 12 practices, it looked pretty damn good. The ball comes out when it's supposed to for Mac Jones. Jones runs play fakes that actually suck in linebackers to create throwing lanes. Jones hits staples like bang action in rhythm to get drives going. So that's the play I was talking about. The Kendrick Bourne in cut was sort of a bang action in rhythm to get the drive going. The play fakes are real for Mac Jones, where, and I'll let you talk, Joe Murray. Cam Newton still doesn't know how to play action fake.
Nope. He if you watch the very first drive of the game, does not even do the fake to bite the safety or linebacker or whatsoever. This is what the whole Patriots offense has been predicated on for years. They've been doing that thing for years, and it's just what is it? Can he not do it? Was he upset about being under center? I just looked it up. Every single snap he did yesterday for Cam Newton was under center. While I look at what Mac Jones did, he was not under center. He was under center 46% of the time. So I don't know if, like, maybe after the game, like, he's upset at some of the plays they're running, but, like, you have to do that play action fake. And to Bedard's point, it just looks better. Forget about what you saw. It just looks better.
Okay, Bedard wrote that you can feel that Mac Jones is just days away from being able to fully change a play at the line of scrimmage and getting the Patriots into a big play, where Newton is still not connecting on simple plays, nor is he quickening his pace in the face of obvious pressure. And that's that Chase Young play that I was referencing. He says, if Jones continues to ascend in the next 10 days in joint practices and games with the Eagles and Giants, and Newton does not show he's all that much better than Cam Newton 1.0, Jones is going to be given a chance to do much more than compete. Make no mistake, the competition is on. Kieran Garesian wrote, Mac Jones's footsteps getting louder in Patriots quarterback competition. She says, while Cam Newton remains a starter and didn't necessarily play poorly last night, there's just something about how the offense looks when Mac Jones is at the helm. There's more of a rhythm and tempo to it, and the fit is obvious. Between his poise, his quick decision-making, command, and accuracy, he looks the part. That drum has been beating since the start of training camp, says KG, and it just gets louder with every practice and now with a preseason game. So the drum beat for Mac Jones continues. It's true that there is a rhythm and tempo to Mac Jones that Cam Newton is not capable of at this point in his career.
Oh, yeah, I mean, that first drive of the third quarter, they only ended up getting the 3 points with. But, I mean, it looked like, and Zoe was talking about it on the broadcast, it looked like the offense we've been grown accustomed to watching when Brady was here over the last 20 years.
Even Dan Shaughnessy writes, things looked different when Jones was on the field. It was easy to see why Josh McDaniels likes the rookie from Alabama. Suddenly, there was timing, there was rhythm, there was command in the pocket. Jones was quick, not fast. He made safe throws. He had a couple of near misses on long ones. He completed 8 of 9 in the no huddle. He looked like the guy who seemed to win every game for the Crimson Tide. He made the new Patriots look like a little of the old Patriots. He looked like the guy you'd want to be the starter. So I think it's a little overboard. I mean, I do, and I do think that McDaniels put Mac Jones in a better position to succeed. But generally speaking, I think we all agree with that. It looks more like a pro-style, Patriot-style offense, the way Mac Jones was playing it versus the way Cam Newton plays it. We all agree with that.
Yeah. Yep.
Until I see the reps change, I still think Bill Belichick, unfortunately, is going to be starting with Cam Newton. And just the way the reps went yesterday, Mac Jones got a ton of time with twos and threes. He got one series with the first offensive line. The second series was sort of a mix and match of ones and twos, and the rest of it was twos and threes. And he played two full quarters where Cam Newton played two drives. And across the league, the entrenched starter gets the two drives with the ones, and the young backup gets the load that Mac Jones got. So if you're going by the template that's, you know, across the league, this is where the Patriots are, and unfortunately, that's still where I think Bill Belichick is. I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, Mike, and just to throw the betting odds for those who are interested, Mac Jones to take New England Patriots first snap this year, regular season, no, -350. That is the highest number it's ever been for Cam Newton. It was -225 a week ago.
So, Joe, you know, our prognosticator, our tout, how'd it go up so much in Cam Newton's favor if the momentum is going so strongly in the favor of Mac Jones? Why has it gone the other way?
It has to be that they just think Cam Newton's going to be on the team and Bill Belichick's going to start Cam Newton. I'm fading this one. I'm telling you right now, I think that I keep mentioning the owner. Like, it is, what is Bill Belichick going to do and what's he going to do? I just have a funny feeling there's going to be a lot of communication in this one, and it could come from above here. But I would absolutely, I already got a plus 180 on Mac Jones, so might as well double down on plus 250 here.
So it's unbelievable that the odds have gone in the other direction when the play on the field feels like it's gone in the exact opposite direction.
Exactly.
All right, so that's been written and said, but I think the most significant thing written today was a Instagram post by Cam Newton somewhere around the noon, 1 o'clock hour. He Instagrammed out this thing about loyalty, and it was kind of out of nowhere. I mean, as far as we're concerned, we don't know what precipitated this, but I think something might have internally, or I don't know, maybe he's just now reacting to the ovation that Mac Jones got. He says, "I'm far from perfect, but loyalty, I deserve it." And again, I'll just ask you guys, was that meant for the people inside the Patriots building, either whether that's players or coaches, or is it meant for the fans?
I think it's the fans, but I don't know if you've like looked at all these pictures here. Like, he posted it and had a bunch of different photos. The Joker card is interesting to me, Jim, only because that's Mac Jones' nickname, just to throw it out there.
Hmm.
So I don't know why he has the Joker in his hat, but I just found that very interesting. When I look at the fourth picture there, but I
Mac
think it's
Jones. Hold on, Mac Jones's nickname is, I thought it was McClellan, McCorkle, well, Mac and Cheese,
yeah, that's,
whatever.
That's Cam's nickname, but his nickname in call the Joker, and I just thought it was interesting. He has a Joker in his in his hat, a Joker card.
He does. So and go ahead, break it down, Murray. Give me more.
I tend to think that this is he is expressing frustration at the coaching staff. Probably, if I had to pick one person, Josh McDaniels, because Josh McDaniels is the offensive coordinator. We've heard about the tug of war and that Josh McDaniels would prefer to have Mac Jones, and Bill wants Cam. So maybe he's looking at Josh McDaniels as the offensive coordinator. Like, you're supposed to be in my corner. Shouldn't you give me more rope last night so I can have more snaps? Because I do think it was pretty obvious after last night's game when he was asked about whether or not he wanted a little bit more playing time. He mentioned the coaches. That's up to them. I think he felt left out to dry, and I think it's more, you know, becoming a little bit more obvious that he feels Mac Jones breathing down his neck, and he might lose his job to this kid. I think the frustration is about the coaching staff and him not getting enough playing time last night. And just quickly, too, I know that so it was Adam Jones, the vulture, along with Ted Johnson in middays today. And they mentioned that a couple of hours after this post, no one on the Patriots had liked it. But within 10 minutes of Jones talking about it, Linda Holiday liked it.
Love it. Well, to me, it is Cam Newton stepping out, and a bad sign. You know, a bad sign for his relationship with the team and Bill. Because this is, as I said to Gasper, not part of the program, man. Not part of the arrangement. The arrangement is, you take our lousy contract, you pump us up, you serve as our surrogate, you serve as our chief promoter out there with other players and publicly. And in return, we'll play you. And that's it. You get the starting job, but you don't get to make any money. You have to say nice things about us, and you can't make any waves. You can't be an issue. And this is starting down the road of being an issue.
Yeah.
And if he's gonna start doing this, he's freaking useless.
Here is the one thing that I absolutely positively know about this post, Mike, because I've already got a couple of angry emails and you were CC'd on them too. Like, you guys are like The View. Don't try to decode this. No. If you don't think that this is something, you're either a humorless bore, or you're being willfully ignorant. Because this is how professional athletes and most people, for better or worse, communicate nowadays. Being bitchy on the internet.
Who else could it, if it's not directed to fans or the Patriots? I mean, is it like to his girlfriend who's stepping out? Like, is it a personal thing with he and his wife? Or
it could be. It could be a song lyric. Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah. Come on.
And so, what if it's a song lyric? Why is he? Why would he be Instagramming that out the day after his replacement got a standing ovation for stepping on the field?
Well, I'll say this, Mike. Jim and I did post game last night. It's 1:30. I'm thinking, oh well, if Mac Jones wins, you know, maybe Cam can be the backup. You know. I see this. No way. There's no way.
No way.
This
guy can handle
it. No way. No shot.
Right. Exactly. So that's kind of an issue with Cam Newton, because when he finally loses the job, I think the thing kind of blows up with him and Bill. Like, I don't know. I don't think Cam Newton's going to exist in the same sphere that he's been existing here and doing what you know, living by the arrangement, if, you know, if and when he loses the job. And here was, again, just the first indication. So, all right, so the quarterback thing gets more real by the day. What do you think? Back to you, I promise, in our long that was it for our long commercial-free segment. Now you're going to have to listen to just a couple commercials, and then we're right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here comes the rookie, Matt Jones. Welcome to Foxborough. Welcome to the NFL. Oh, look at this place. Tell me they're not ready for the next guy. Really good to see him wear a real quarterback number two. And, you know, for people that are watching the broadcast that maybe haven't been to Patriots training camp, Coach Belichick makes all the rookies wear numbers in the 50s. They sort of have to earn the number. And, boy, he sure has. He's had a good camp.
He wears number 10, no longer number 50, is the 15th overall pick in this year's draft out of Alabama.
All right, that's what it sounded like when Mac Jones hit the field last night. Your calls and thoughts. Jeremy and Brookfield, bring us back. Go ahead, Jeremy.
Hey, what's up, guys? One quick take. I want to get to the Patriots quarterback, but, oh, my God, that Field of Dreams was awful. With Kevin Costner just roaming around the outfield for 25 minutes, I thought he was either, like, lost or old or, like, looking for crop circles. But back to him. Yeah, oh, God, I couldn't stand it. But back to the quarterbacks, I have kind of two main takeaways. One is that I think it was a good first step for Mac Jones. I think him being able to hit the short passes, that's a good first step because Newton can't do that. But my big thing is I don't know how Newton starts the season and how they then deviate from him because either they're going to end up having to either lose games that they shouldn't lose to switch or he's just going to suck so bad. But even if he's doing terrible, they still could win. So I don't know how that switch happens in the season.
Well, to me, the switch happens, like, the scenario is that he gets hurt, he gets COVID. I heard Ted Johnson talking about this earlier. You know, he's probably not vaccinated.
Oh, I think he told on himself last night, Mike. Did you notice he was wearing a mask in the postgame presser? And you have to wear a mask if you're not vaccinated. And again, he sidestepped that question a couple of weeks ago.
So, you know, he's probably a risk there. He gets hurt, and then, you know, the pressure's taken off of Bill. The switch is easy. It's not really even a decision, and it sort of gets taken out of Bill's hands, which maybe he's privately rooting for because there's no pressure then.
Right.
Then there's no call. To me, the scenario, the nightmare scenario, because I think Mac Jones is going to be the guy too eventually. I don't think it'll be for week one. I don't think Bill wants to start week one with him. I think Bill probably wants to protect him from week four in that Brady game. So if you want to keep Mac Jones out of week four, you pretty much have to keep him out of week one. And never mind the whole thing about just, you know, you're not going to start week one. You're just not ready physically, mentally, the whole thing. And it's an easy schedule, and I want sort of a softer landing for you, a softer opening. So the whole thing is still Cam Newton. But then you still get off to a good start, and you clean up on the Dolphins, the Jets, the Texans, the Saints at home, and probably lose in the Brady game. But who knows? Maybe you're 4-1, 5-1, and then Bill's going to say, I'm not making a switch. We're 5-1 and on our way. And that's sort of the nightmare scenario to me.
Yes, but would you allow for ownership intervention? In other words, say they are...
Yes, I would.
Okay, so they have a really good record, and the numbers for the numbers, Mike, for the Brady game are astronomical. The following week, they're in Houston, the numbers dip, and they hadn't been all that great in those three prior games before the Tampa game. And they're winning games 16-14. It's a lot of bitching on sports radio. You can tell people are pissed. Don't you think it's well within reason for Robert to go down and be like, all right, enough. Go to the kid.
I think that's a little dramatic. I think it's a little more nuanced than that, Jim, because I don't think Kraft would do that. I don't. They're six, they're 5-1, and Robert walks into the office and says, you're playing the kid? No, I don't think that happens. But I do think that Bill knows what Robert wants. And I do think Bill is more amenable and willing to play ball with his owner than he's given credit for. He knows where his bread is buttered. He knows the kind of salary he makes. And Bill knows what it takes to get along to get along. In other words, I think that was part of the Mac Jones, you know, situation.
Yeah.
I don't think Robert Kraft walked into Bill's office and said, you're drafting Mac Jones. I don't think they were there on the draft board or on the clock.
It was more of an eye roll and fine.
No, it was more of a, Bill knows my owner will be happy if I take this quarterback.
Yeah.
And, you know, Robert Kraft let him know that he'll be happy, you know, that, you know, and so Bill knows how to make his owner happy. And that's, Bill's not above that or beneath that, or he's smart enough to know that that's part of doing it. So that's all a long way of saying I do think that some of the bigger picture things could come into play, including what his owner wants. Yep. But if they're 5-1, I don't think he's going to change quarterbacks at 5-1. I don't. Not unless Newton gets COVID. Yeah. I'm sorry.
The other thing, Mike, too, is maybe another quarterback goes down in the NFL. And they don't have draft capital to trade. Like, look at the Colts, right? I mean, Wentz says he's going to be back, but they already gave up a ton of capital for Wentz. So maybe there's a team out there that might give up a sixth, and it's the right thing for Belichick to do is to trade him to a place where he can continue to play.
You're talking Newton.
Yeah. If they do decide that Mac Jones is the guy.
Joe, but not if they're 5-1.
Well, no, I'm saying before the season even starts. Like, there could be pressure from the – I know Bill doesn't care about what the media or what the fans think, but if this is the one year that you can actually get on Belichick. Like, last year was a dumpster fire. What you did with Brady was bad. You just spent the most money in the offseason, and the owner was mad about it. And a lot of – so we laugh at teams to do that. You know what I mean? Like, if they're not going to choose the right guy who helps them with the best chance to win, like, that's going to come down on Belichick. And I feel like Mac is going to be the guy.
Okay. Not week one, I don't think. Mike in Warwick. I mean, he should be, but he won't be. Mike in Warwick. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. Hey, I had to call a long time. You know, I'm so sick of listening to this. I mean, this isn't Pee Wee. Every kid doesn't get a trophy, okay? The guy can't play anymore. And I'm telling you what, it's going to get worse because if this kid keeps trending up, Cam's going to get worse. You wait. That's all I got, guys. Thanks.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Mike. This is on Cam. Cam could make it worse for him. I think the tweet today makes it worse for himself.
Doesn't help. Yeah.
Because he's not playing. This is not playing ball with the Patriots. This is not living up to his end of the bargain. And I would say to him, as I said earlier, if I'm Cam Newton, I'd hold your water. You're still the starter. I think Bill wants you to be the starter. The way he played you last night, you know, tells you you're sort of the established starter. And I don't think he wants to play the rookie week one or play the rookie early. And so just keep your cool. You know, you'll have the job, win games, build up a good record, and make it hard on Bill to sit you down. Don't start pitching fits, because that's not going to help you out. That's gonna work against you, if anything. Gibby in New Hampshire's up next. Hi, Gibby.
Gibby.
Gilbert. Okay, babe. Call us back. You obviously know the number. How about Bill up in the great state of Maine? It's an average state, really, but people always say that. Go ahead, Bill.
How you doing, guys? Great show. I'm not going to switch the subject matter from football to baseball because it is a, you know, pretty interesting subject matter. But we need to get on the baseball. That's what the problem is. Patriots have no problem. Let me run this by you guys. What do you think that Belichick's policies are? Nobody speaks to the media.
I thought you were talking baseball. So why do they call it the great state of Maine? Because 98% of the calls we get from Maine suck.
It's really just a Wells and a Gunkwit thing. That's where it's great. The rest of it, not so much. And that's as Maine a call as you're going to get right there. Not close to the phone, all over the place. Hold it like a lobster roll, won't you, caller, from Maine?
And you know it's a landline, because in Maine, that's still probably the last place where they have actual corded landline phones. So you know he's using it. But either way, we're going to have one final segment of your calls, thoughts, and wonderful communications from Maine after Joe Murray gets you updated. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hockey shop. Please, Maz.
What the?
Felger and Maz.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
1 final segment of your phone calls and thoughts from last night. One thing we have not followed up on was the betting angle. I told you yesterday, if you like money, to mail it in on the Patriots. Felt it would be a easy spot for them. They'd have a lot on the line. They'd play their starters a lot longer than Washington would. They'd have two quarterbacks who were looking to make an impression. Two coaches looking to make an impression with those players. So they'd put Mac Jones and Cam Newton on the field for longer than normal, surround him with better players than normal. So you'd have a good advantage in terms of one versus twos, etc. And you'd roll. Plus, you'd have all these new free agents on the field that you spent a lot of money on. Everyone wants to put their best foot forward. Blah, blah, blah. And I said, mail it in on the Patriots. I was once again proven right.
But hey, Mike, you moved the lines yesterday, I think, a little bit, though.
Yeah? Yeah?
Well, if you just give me a minute here. So the opening line, and this is what Lifshatz and I do, Bankroll Boys Saturday, 7 to 9. We gave out over 33 on Saturday, okay? It closed Patriots minus 2, and the over was 37.
Wow.
So, again, it was a 22-13 final. Which is, 35 points. So it went over the original total, but because you moved the line a little bit there, some people missed out on it. But let me just throw out a few things that happened. There were two missed field goals and an extra point. There was a drop two-point conversion that I still don't know how it didn't count. And then the Stevenson 91-yard rush, the Washington team called timeout when the Pats were just trying to kill the clock and go home. So the next play, Stevenson ran at 91 yards. So it would have just been a kneel, get off the field, or whatever. But that put the game over the total last night and another win for the Bankroll Boys.
Well, there you go. But it didn't play out the way I thought. I mean, they covered late, you know, obviously, as you just said. So it wasn't a thing where, you know, that their starting quarterbacks played longer, did better, and, like, you know, the quarterback playing. But, you know, Fitzpatrick and Heinicke were just as good, if not better, than your guys, and that thing was all even. So they covered, but not for the reasons I thought. And isn't that always, I guess, the way Joe Murray – I heard you guys yesterday on TNR talk about the value in preseason games and the advantages you get. And I agree with it, generally speaking. Like, I think there's advantage plays in the preseason you don't get anywhere else.
Yeah, you don't
know. But all these games still end up in garbage time with some fourth-string guy who's scoring a touchdown with 2 minutes left, right?
Remember the game you lost big on?
Oh, believe me.
It was Gunnar Olszewski playing defensive back. And last night it was Jawan Williams. I mean, what was Joe? I was with Jim last night doing postgame, and we were just like,
"He stinks.
This guy really does suck."
And
he,
Mike,
sucks.
I don't know whether or not it actually would have affected your bet, but did you know that if that got tied, it would have stayed tied? They're not having overtime in the preseason?
I didn't. I did not know we had no overtime. So that would not have influenced me, because I thought, frankly, between Cam Newton, Mac Jones, the coaches, and the new free agents, that they would have put up 28 points in the first half and it wouldn't even come down to that. So my analysis ended up being wrong, even if I would have had a...
I think you're on the right side of it, man.
A lie? Well, you know, when you put a birdie down in the scorecard, it doesn't tell you how you got there. You know,
right.
Even if it bounced off the ball washer, it's still a birdie. Mm-hmm. So that's what I scored one off the ball washer last night. One final segment of your calls. As promised, we did some Red Sox earlier. Tom and Quincy wants to weigh in. Hi, Tom. How you feeling about your baseball team, Tommy?
I'm not digging it, Mike. I'm not digging it at all. But listen, I've called in a few times the past few days. Pretty pissed, all right? But I'm trying a different angle today to see if I can spin some magic here. I'm one iota away from grabbing a nail from Big Jim, okay? But here's the thing. I decided, you know me, I'm not big on research and looking up stuff before I call. But I'm trying to come into this with some optimism on what to look at for the rest of the month. So this is what I'm doing. For the rest of the month, they have 18 games. Five of them are with the Yankees and the Rays. All right, so let's deal with them later. But the 13 other games, Cleveland, Texas, Baltimore, and the Twins, combined, they're 90 games under 500. So, assuming they don't F the bed this weekend against Baltimore, it's going to be very hard for me to keep my interest if that happens. But if they take care of business in Baltimore like they should, I say you have to focus and go game by game and pray to God that they take care of the absolute dirt of the American League throughout the rest of the month.
I think that's it, Tommy. I'm going to stop you. The schedule, there's some soft spots on the schedule. That's one path. And I think the other thing is this team has proven to be not that mentally tough and kind of emotional or fragile, whatever you want to say. I think that's been proven. But that also means that if you are a fragile team and not mentally tough, you can have ups just like you can have downs. And if the trade deadline brought them down, maybe Chris Sale walking through the door can bring them up, and Kyle Schwarber walking through the door, and he'll play tonight, can bring them up. And not necessarily, I'm not even saying Chris Sale goes out there and lights the world on fire. Just the presence of Chris Sale, you know, future Hall of Famer, I think, maybe, whatever. You know, Chris Sale, stud, one of the best pitchers of his generation, walks through the door. And Kyle Schwarber, who is a legit bat and, you know, is a legit piece, walks through the door. And you get energized, just like you were demoralized at the trade deadline. That's possible.
Yeah, I'm willing to allow that. I just, the cautionary tale here during this swoon is that series against Detroit. And Detroit isn't one of the dregs of the league like Baltimore, who's lost seven in a row, I think it is, coming into this game tonight. But that does show you, like, no game and no series is a given. And yeah, they might get a bump and should get a bump from Sale. But Sale just being there, does that make, like, a hack like, oh, you know, like Nick Pivetta pitch better, you know, like I don't know. You know, I just, this isn't what I'd like to believe. They're a little bit more of what you saw those first few months of the season, but this is as bad as anything I've ever seen. Like, this is like end of 2011 and like right. pre-2004 bad old days type stuff.
So this is a meltdown. You know, this goes beyond their talent level. If they just go back to playing their talent level is a team that's above 500. Maybe not much above 500, but, you know, above 500. And that, you know, keeps you in the race, keeps you in the wild card. And if you make the wild card, you win one game, and there you go. You're right back where you started from. So there is a path. Mike in Amesbury, what do you got, Mike?
Hey, what I was thinking is, how much do you think Bill is thinking about the first couple games of the season while he's watching this preseason?
A lot, I do.
Because that might influence who he starts at quarterback, because the Dolphins know Cam. The Jets, you could probably win that game regardless of who the quarterback is. But that first game, the Dolphins have a tough defense. So is it an advantage to throw Cam out there who has already played against them?
So I don't think it's like that, Mike. I'm just going to cut you off. I think it's more to do with, let's give the rookie just a little extra cushion. Week one, game one, first round pick, starting quarterback, Tom Brady coming into town in 4 weeks. I just think that's a lot. I know, Joe Murray, you think this is a new Bill Belichick and he has to think differently, and maybe you're right, but I think everything I know about Bill says I'm not throwing the rookie into that situation. You know, he's going to come on later when he's got his feet under him.
Yeah, I just, again, you guys mentioned ownership, and, you know, maybe they understand each other crap, but I don't know. I just go back to some of the things, and I wonder what Josh McDaniels stands in all this, right? A guy that didn't pursue any other, coaching jobs, and he's clearly working with the kid. I didn't see Cam Newton over there sitting with Josh.
Oh, no. It's firmly established. We are in the middle of, well, let's hear it. Stu, there's a term. What is it, Stu? Do you have it?
It's a tug of war in Foxborough.
I think that there's a tug of war between Josh McDaniels and Bill over this quarterback situation.
Bill hates Mac Jones.
I think if it's up to Bill, it's Cam Newton who was in there.
While Josh McDaniels hates Cam and probably Belichick too.
I think if it's up to Josh, it's Mac Jones.
It's a tug of war. in Foxborough.
I think that there's a tug of war.
I think that there's a tug of war.
I think that there's a tug of war.
I think that there's a tug of war between Josh McDaniels and Bill over this quarterback situation.
It's a tug of war in Foxborough.
I love it.
And today you got Cam Newton on Instagram, you know, maybe taking a shot at Josh McDaniels. Like, where's the loyalty, you a-hole? And then later in the day, you got Belichick's girlfriend, Linda Holiday, liking that post. So is Bill asking Linda to show public support for Cam because Cam is his guy? Again, the tug of war continues.
I like it. I like it. But the thing about, you know, Josh McDaniels staying here, so you got to do right by Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels stayed here because no one else will hire him now. Eh. You know, after what? You don't agree with that?
Well, he didn't go for any job last year.
Oh, he went for every job. What do you mean?
Well, to be honest with you, he wanted someone to bail the Eagles, right? He wanted the Eagles, or I forget who it was.
Cleveland a couple of years ago.
He was begging the Eagles to hire him. So you are right about that. Get me out of here. Get me out of here. Things have changed. And they're no.
He wants a head coaching job, but I don't think anyone will touch him after the Colts thing a couple of years ago. So he's stuck. It's not like you have to do right by Josh McDaniels. Like, it is what it is. Again, I don't get the Adam Jones little... what are you doing? What are you saying?
The smarmy.
Yeah.
I do them too.
So, but just speak it. What do you mean? I'm not smart enough to understand what you're being snide about.
I just think that the offense and the players all want one set. What system does Cam Newton run? Like, hey, what's the offense when Cam Newton's there? Do you know what it is? What do you call it?
Oh, God, I called a high school offense.
Okay, when Mac Jones is going to go out there, it's going to be a, some sort of set, two wide receivers set, two tight end, whatever. It's at least everyone knows what's going on when Mac's out there. When Cam's out there, it's like, how's he going to screw it up? That's literally what it's like now.
I don't disagree. What do you think Bill's going to do?
I'm hoping he's a changed man.
Exactly.
I'm betting on it.
Matt in Bridgewater. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. I think Cam is going to be the starting quarterback the whole year, unless he goes down for whatever reason. And the only thing I got is, say Jones is playing by week four, isn't Bill playing with house money there? Like, what's the if he loses that game, it's like, oh, he lost to Tom Brady, obviously. But say for whatever chance the defense wins them that game and Mac Jones is the quarterback week four, isn't that a huge win for Bill?
Oh, my God, it's massive. But I don't understand the house money thing. Right now, Bill looks like an ass clown for letting the greatest player. He does. Yeah. He looks like an idiot for letting the greatest player in the history of the sport walk out the door to keep winning Super Bowls while he's stuck here with no quarterback. He's got, what do you mean, house money? He's got no capital left when it comes to this thing. So I'm not sure what you're referencing there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, but if he beats Brady with either quarterback, it's a huge feather in his cap.
Joe mentioned something earlier. I don't know if you've been paying attention to this, Mike. There is another way he can potentially look like a big ass clown, too. And so Mac Jones, fifth quarterback taken. Justin Fields, who the Bears moved up for, trading with the New York Giants. This was the guy that I wanted them to take, quarterback out of Ohio State. Have you read how he's been looking at camp and in some of these scrimmages with the Dolphins?
Strong to quite strong, correct?
Yeah, real good, real good. So if he ends up having a phenomenal season, it looks like the next guy, the first great quarterback ever drafted by the Chicago Bears of all teams, and Mac Jones is just, well, Jack Jones? Oh, yeah, that's ass clown level stuff.
Okay, so there's that. That was an eventful game, an eventful day after. I think it delivered on that front from the talk show standpoint. We've got the final word coming your way next. So don't...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Naz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Naz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Naz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. Town Fair Tire, the best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So as we wait for Mike to get back to his perch,
just wave the white flag on the show with a few minutes to go.
We'll say happy birthday to Tim Tebow, who's 34 today. So if you want something to watch tomorrow night, Mike Felger.
Sorry, nobody. Go ahead.
Tim Tebow will play tomorrow night for the Jaguars, turned 34 today. So,
Is he really going
to
play?
He's playing tight end for the Jaguars, so we'll
cool.
be able to watch that one. All right, so we have a Mad Mike here. Going back to 2015, of course, Chris Sale making his return
2015.
Tomorrow. This one's going way back here. So here is Mad Mike on Chris Sale in a wardrobe malfunction.
Out of touch, entitled a-hole baseball player. Does it matter to you? We still haven't found out. Was it a scissors or a knife? And does it make a difference to you? Someone asked me this last night because I've been talking about the knife thing.
Yeah, no, I think a knife gets the job done faster. I find scissors far more weird.
No.
First of all, he has to have a knife.
There'd be an X-Acto knife or something lying around.
Okay, well, I don't know. What do you say? It's a box cutter or an X-Acto knife, and then I don't know, but I heard knife. So what does that mean? You roll around hunting knives? Like, who knows? Again, here's the knife. It's like, I mean, don't you? Isn't that just psycho? Like, with your knife, you take out your buck knife or your switchblade or whatever it is that you're doing, you weird psycho, you know. Don't you think that's a different level than cutting them with the scissors?
No, it gets the job done faster. Again, I think it's weirder to pull, because, you know, to cut it with scissors, you actually have to hold it taut and then, you know, cut.
The image of him with the knife? Like, stabbing the jerseys? Die, New Jersey, I'm not wearing you! Like, I think psychopath. Out of touch, entitled a-hole baseball player.
And I want him. Bring me the a-hole.
All over Tucky or no Tucky?
So I forgot about all that. Yeah. I like Chris Sale. I don't feel like an a-hole at all. But remember, this was when they made the Chicago White Sox wore those old uniforms with the collars and the untucky thing. And he lost his mind that they didn't inform him that he'd have to wear this new uniform. So he sliced it. And then I guess it came out that he sliced it with a knife, which I stand by, is more psychopathic than just cutting him up with scissors.
And he never ended up going that psycho here in his tenure.
No.
But we'll see, though. Let's see if this season devolves.
That's right. Let's see him have Robles come in and balk in a run for one of his games. All right, speaking of all that, here comes a baseball hour. Who's doing it?
That would be me. The time has finally come.
Oh, it's time to pay the piper, Murray.
Yep. Yeah, payback's a bitch.
All right, so what are you talking about? Baseball?
All about the Red Sox, who are really in a bad way right now. But there is some good news coming for the team as they have the Lamb Baltimore Orioles coming in this weekend starting tonight. As Kyle Schwarber is going to make his debut with the Red Sox tonight in this series opener, so we'll start with that.
All right, and if you go dry, just make fun of the Field of Dreams stuff. It's fun.
Oh, yeah, no, that's going to happen, too.
All right, Joe Murray, thanks for coming by. Stu, Lanny, whoever's back there, and Big Jim, everyone have a great weekend. Felger and Maz return Monday at 2. We'll talk to you then.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.